This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast.
Hello there and welcome to a very special edition of the Bite Size Business Breakfast, broadcasting live from one of the cabins on the Ain Dubai, the world's tallest observation wheel, which is opening later on this week. Coming up in the next half an hour or so, Serena Kelly's got the big headline stories, joining us live from the ARN studio while we're out here on Blue Waters Island. Then we're going to hear from the boss here, General Manager Ronald Drake, talking us through the engineering challenge, but also the commercial challenge that something like this presents. What else have we got? It is Gitex Week. So the great and the good of the technology industry are in town. Zoom, famous, of course, for Zoom video conferencing calls, but they still see the value of a face-to-face meeting. Abe Smith is in Dubai for Gitex. He's been speaking with Brandy. And finally, more on the launch of Ain Dubai. Helen Meller-Mitchell is with Flash Entertainment. They're helping to put together one heck of a launch party this weekend. You can come down. The party's free if you want to be here. Thursday and Friday and Saturday. It's going to be quite an occasion down in Blue Waters Island. All of that to come. First up, though, here is Serena with your top stories.
Serena Kelly is in the studio, just in case it all went horribly wrong. One person on the ground. Serena, we didn't need you to fill in for 4 hours, which is probably a good thing for you and for us, but what can you tell us about what's going on?
It's probably starting with one story that has sort of piqued people's interests, a warning from Sharjah police. So they've arrested a 5-member gang because they seized a car after taking it for a test drive. So what happened was, it was a 4-wheel drive. One of the suspects posed as a customer, issued fake checks worth 250,000 dirhams to the owner, and then took the car for a drive and didn't come back. The seller approached the police. They investigated, found there were 4 others involved, and then, thanks to a sting operation working with Ras Al Khaimah police, the men have been arrested, the car was recovered, and authorities are advising, please do background checks on any prospective buyers when you're actually selling something.
Bits of surgery story-ness that I see you have written in the bulletins as well. Is this a special request for our Richard Dean?
Yes, it is, because Richard, you're due for surgery soon, aren't you?
Going under the knife a week on Thursday, yeah, my knee. Not major surgery, but, you know, they're going to knock me out. I'll be in hospital, so yes.
Would you let a robot do the surgery for you?
You know, I think I would not. In principle, I'd say yes. In theory, I'd bottle it at the last minute and say, no, I want a person.
Okay, this might change your mind then, because the UAE's first robotic kidney donor surgery has been successfully carried out in Dubai. So it's the Mohammed bin Rashid University of Medicine and Health Sciences teaming up with Mediclinic Middle East. They were behind the procedure. It was quite complex, involving 2 male patients, and it was done using state-of-the-art medical technology. Surgeries lasted about 3 hours each, because there was 2 of them, carried out using the latest Da Vinci surgical system. So basically, it has small robotic arms, and according to officials, the robotic arm was controlled by a team of surgeons from a console, which enabled them to remove the donor kidney through smallest incisions. And yeah, it was a huge success. So I'm just wondering if that might change your mind for future, and hopefully you won't need future endeavours in surgery though.
Fingers crossed not. I shall mention it to my surgeon. Actually, he's clearly a good guy, because he's the same guy who saw Helen Farmer before her Kilimanjaro trek. So the human is clearly got a good track record, but the robot, well, we'll wait and see.
You've also been having a look at a new special week at Expo.
Yeah, so obviously it's Space Week at the moment, but yesterday they had the Minister of Education, Hussein bin Ibrahim Al-Hamadi. They were holding a conference at Expo 2020 Dubai, where they inaugurated the first World Giftness Centre. So this is the first global platform for nurturing the gifted. It aims to become a global hub for actors, a support network for educational needs across the globe. So he addressed the point that educational systems all over the world have suffered a lot because of COVID-19. And thanks to smart solutions, hybrid systems, they've helped to overcome challenges. So this global platform for the gifted The Hamdan bin Rashid Al Maktoum Foundation for Distinguished Academic Performance is working with its partners at the University of Reisenberg in Germany, and they're going to explore future prospects of gifted individuals from all over the world, bringing together scientists, students, experts, researchers, and just basically looking at the future of talent in general.
Speaking of talent, let's grab a little bit of entertainment news from you before we let you go.
All right, so Kanye West, or as we should be calling him now, as the artist formerly known as Kanye West. If you bump into him, guys, FYI, he is now officially yay. A judge in LA granted his name change request, which he filed back in August, citing personal reasons. So previously, full name, Kanye Omari West, but now he is just yay.
Speechless. Right, Serena Kelly, thank you very much.
More details on the Aaron New Centre app.
This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast, exclusively on DubaiEye1038.com.
We are live from the cabin at AIM Dubai, and it is a real pleasure to be joined in, I was going to say the studio, it's kind of a studio, it's our pop-up studio, by the general manager, the guy who's making it all happen. Ron Drake is with us. We are loving being here this morning, it's fabulous, and the catering as well that you've put on. The coffee is fabulous. But we've got so many questions coming in from our listeners right now. We'll get to those shortly. But first of all, we're in a cabin, we're moving, the sun is rising over the Dubai skyline. It is, as you promised, quite spectacular. What's it taken to get to this point where we can sit in this cabin and customers can come on Thursday? Quite a lot.
Incredible amount of engineering just to get this cabin in the way it is, you know, with how large it is with the, you know, the glass and how it's curved, the air conditioning, how steady it is as we go. Isn't that one of the best features is how steady this whole cab is? So it's really quite a marvel of engineering. I think that's really the benefit that we look at when guests come in and how spacious it is. I mean, in this cabin here, we can do almost 40 people.
So, because I was waiting for the cabin for about half an hour this morning. Brandy and the team had already done a loop before I got here over about 5:30. And there's all kinds of different configurations. So this one has a kind of central low seating. Some of them have got, I guess, more like aircraft style seating. One of them had a bar, which I quite like. There was a boardroom in one, and so on.
These are view cabins, and they're designed to maximize the view of Dubai and the skyline. But we have several different types. We have social cabins, we call them, or beverage inclusive. They have a beverage center, and you walk in, it's a high back seat. You probably saw it there, a beverage center in the middle. Then we have more of a celebration cabin where we've moved a beverage center over. We have custom soundtracks, upgraded audio. We have Bose system inside of it. So we really try to create more of a social atmosphere. But our favorite ones now are celebration cabins, which you might have seen down below. It was our birthday cabin, where we can do dining, we can do meze, we can do celebrations. Perfect for birthdays, anniversaries, any of the times you want to come down and share the special moments with your family and friends. That's where the AIM Dubai comes in for you.
So what can you tell me about the bookings that you've got so far? Bookings are available on Thursday. I was looking on the website last night and beyond. And I know a lot of this stuff is confidential, so fair enough. But can you get a sense of the profile of people? Are they coming from out of town? Is it people who live here? What insights do you have?
The strongest response we have now is residents, which we expected. Very strong. 70% of our guests are residents. We can just tell by, you know, what they're asking for. You know, this is a great market, and the residents here really enjoy hospitality. We have food, beverage, things we can customize the cabin. It makes it so much more unique. You know, when they look at this view, it's an absolutely stunning view, but we also like to enjoy our favorite beverage. We like to enjoy maybe bubbly or something that just makes it that much more special. Could be a birthday cake, it could be your special music, might be something on our video screens, anything that's going to make this thing that much better, this event that much better for everybody.
Go on, Brandy.
Rich and I were speculating earlier about the business questions. We're really interested in how you're going to measure the ROI for the wheel.
The first is obviously customer experience. You know, we do well in the customer experience. That's the biggest part. We do exit surveys. We see what guests like and don't like, and then we keep evolving these products. Big part of it. So once we get that model down where we understand that the guest is happy and enjoying it, then we look at how many ways we can, how long we wheel, how many people can fit in a cabin. That's a big part of it, trying to understand our occupancy. And then it's really understanding what people really enjoy. If they want to enjoy their favorite beverage, can we deliver it? That provides more options for us. Sponsors, partners, all that is a big part of it. But we do a lot of corporate events, a lot of MICE meetings events. Big element of it. As you can see, these cabins are quite large. You could do meetings in here, you can do product display. You can do anything that really, product launches are very popular. They're very popular for groups, especially with our hospitality.
I'm thinking table tennis world championships, potentially, perhaps a game of billiards. We've got a bunch of questions coming in, Ron. I'm going to throw these at you just rapid fire style. Bhuvnesh writes in, my kids are age 5 and 7. What if they need to use the toilet halfway through?
You got to be parents to tell them before they get on. You've got to make sure they go to the restroom before. It's a very common question. We don't have restrooms on board, not part of our experience. In fact, we'll only do two rotations maximum with one group because of that reason.
Mariam writes in, what are you doing to keep us safe during COVID?
We are in cabins like this. We are following all the COVID regulations with, posting the signs, making sure there's hand sanitizers. And these occupancies have been moved down to the current COVID rules, which are 10. So they're 10 per cabin is what we're rolling right now. We offer private cabins, which gives everyone a nice feel of comfort. But I think the social distancing is all maintained. All these are key elements of our COVID program.
Sharon writes in, what is the number one Instagram money shot from a cabin of A in Dubai? She says, I'm an influencer, so I need to get it first before everyone else.
So there's two. I'll give them number one. Number one is always at the top, and the second part of it's at the top, looking at the sunset. That is really the number one shot. You'll see it. It is being at the top of the highest observation wheel in the world is really one feature, but seeing that sunset is really special.
How do you time it to make sure you get the sunset? And I say that as someone who got it wrong last week.
Yeah. It's not easy because it's not really when the sun sets, it's when you get the best view of the rays of the colors of the sun in the sky. So depending on the time of day, depending on the humidity in the air, all those things are key factors. When wintertime, you get longer sunsets here, more color in the sky. Summertime, you got to get it a little bit earlier before the actual sun sets to see the color in the sky. So it's truly an art to be able to time the sunset. It's really the pictures you want. The sun setting's a big part of it, but it's really the colors in the sky that you're looking for. And if you look at the Ain Dubai colors, they're all the colors you see during the day. So the sun, the setting sun, the morning blue, all those colors in our Ain Dubai colors are what you see and engage with when you go on the cabin here.
Finally, what does it mean for the businesses around you? We're looking over Blue Waters Dubai. We're almost at the top now. There's hotels, there's restaurants. They've been waiting for you to open. It's not your job to fill those restaurants, and yet it will be a spillover effect. Just 20 seconds on that.
So this is my third observation wheel project. We will be a draw. We will bring lots of guests, both those who come on the wheel and also those who just want to come see the wheel and take photos. We will be a major draw for the area. I believe we'll pull lots of residents and tourists on the island. It's a big feature for us to be able to be the center of the center of the world, as we call it.
Well, we are loving it this morning. Ron, I've got to say a big thank you from us for inviting us. You walked into the studio a couple of days ago and threw out this invitation, and how our tech team have pulled this together over 48 hours, I dread to think, but Rick, Isra, and all the other producers have done a sterling job. Ron, thanks so much for your time. Best of luck with the launch on Thursday. I'm going to be down here, so I'll see you there.
Look forward to seeing you guys down here again. Thank you so much for coming down and really enjoying this with us.
Catch up on the business headlines with the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
Zoom stock has fallen about 55% since its record highs of last year when it was peak pandemic. We want to know what's going to happen to the company post-pandemic, because their user numbers are still really good. But as many of us get comfortable back in the office and our numbers fall to double digits when it's COVID, we ask, what is the future for Zoom? We're very pleased to be joined now by Zoom's head of international business, Abe Smith. Abe, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good to be here. Thanks for including me.
We're keen to talk to you this morning about what Zoom's future could look like post-pandemic. As things, fingers crossed, start to get a little bit better on the COVID numbers front, particularly here, what are you seeing happen to user numbers?
Well, it's a great question. I mean, first of all, we think that life has changed forever and that the new norm includes a different way of working. And, actually the feedback from people here in the UAE and everywhere around the world says the same thing. And that's really a desire to have a more of a hybrid approach to the way we work, the way we learn through education, the way we go to events, the way we congregate and socially connect. I think there's been a bit of awakening. And if you look at just here in the UAE, 70% of organizations in the UAE said, hey, look, they want to have a hybrid environment where they can spend some of the time in the office, but they also want to be able to work where they want to work flexibly. And that's the theme that we're hearing, Brandy, loud and clear.
But what have you actually seen numbers-wise when it comes to users over the last quarter, the third quarter?
Well, our users continue to grow. And, if you listen to our recent earnings call in Q2, you can see that. So, we grade the business on a couple of ways. And we look at our paid customer base, which topped just almost 505,000 paid customers of 10 employees or more, and that's up from about 370,000 just a year ago. So high volume in people that are participating with the product on a paid level. You know, our free accounts are obviously ubiquitously available for everybody and widespread. And then we also look at the large businesses. So when you think about that return to enterprise or return to the office, those enterprise clients that are spending more than $1 million a year increased to 156 customers, and that's up quite a bit year over year, about 77% year over year for us. So, you know, all the stats about consumption, usage, they continue to go in the right direction. And, you know, our goal is to make sure that people receive the product well, that they are delivered happiness everywhere around the world, and that they can connect in a way that allows them to be productive.
What about how people are using Zoom, though? Because, I mean, the last quarter has seen a lot of people head back into work. Are you seeing that reflected in any way in the time of calls, the frequency of calls, the number of calls?
Well, I think you raise a question. It's really about how people use the solution. And when you think about connection on video, we really think that video is the new voice. So, you know, think about all aspects of your life, and that could range from, you know, the simple exercise class that you take in the morning where you might not decide to go into the Pilates studio. You might want to do that remotely via Zoom in your house. That could range all the way to, you know, a clinical or doctor's session that you have where you don't go into the doctor's office, but you're getting that clinical update through a Zoom call, and you're receiving consultation either for health or wellness or for any kind of consultation. You know, the class environment, you got to remember, is changing dramatically too. You know, my son's a good example of that. In the United States, he has half his classes online on Zoom at the California State University, and then actually half the classes face-to-face. And I think that's a common approach for digital natives or otherwise. And then, of course, that work environment that we talked about. If you're a small business or a large business, you know, one meeting might be in a coffee shop like Cafe Nero or a Starbucks. The next might be in your house, and then that might lead you into the office where you catch a call in a Zoom room, what we call a Zoom room, Brandy, which is that ability to simply press a button.
Does that, one minute left with you, Abe, how does it change how you run your business, though? If people's usage patterns change with the hybrid model, 1 minute left with you, how do you change what you're offering?
Yeah, I think it's real simple. We're moving from a killer app to a complete collaboration platform. So that includes all modalities of communication, from voice to rooms to large events to connecting in contact centers and video anywhere, anyhow, bandwidth intense or bandwidth low. We want to provide and become the video operating system and the communication operating system for your life.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning. Abe Smith is the company's head of international business at Zoom, the telecommunications conference.
Thanks for including me.
Just the highlights. This is the Bite-Size Business Breakfast.
We are talking parties, as Richard said. Not his 50th, but the party that is going to go on this weekend, 2 p.m. on Thursday, starts the official celebrations for AIM Dubai as it opens its doors to the public. There's going to be food trucks. There's going to be music on Friday. The guys at Flash Entertainment, who know how to throw a concert or two, are going to be taking charge. We are joined now by Helen Mallard-Mitchell, who is Vice President of Marketing Communications at Flash. Helen, it's lovely to see you. Thank you. I was going to say for coming down. Thank you for coming up.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
So tell us what we are going to see this Friday. What are you putting on?
Well, we're delighted to be part of AIM Dubai's two-day extravaganza of an opening weekend. And we're specifically here on Friday and working with our partners at Virgin Radio to bring the RAS Sessions concept to the main stage on the plaza. So RAS Sessions is really born from an initiative we've been working on throughout the year. Called Regional Artist Spotlight, which is really a platform for shining a spotlight on the abundance of musical talent that we have within the region that maybe don't get that profile and have been particularly hard hit, you know, by the pandemic. I mean, obviously the entire events industry, you know, almost overnight that landscape changed, but it really meant very limited opportunities for these artists. So we've been delighted at Flash. You know, we take our role as a supporter of regional music very, very seriously. So we've been delighted to be able to offer this platform and these broader opportunities to these artists. And as I say, you know, Virgin Radio has been a key partner. We've also worked with What's On and Angami really to amplify their content, to support their new releases, to help them to reach a new fan base at this difficult time. So we've been running the initiative one featured artist per month since March, so we have eight now, and six of those will be performing on Friday.
How have you chosen who not just gets to perform, but who becomes a featured artist in the first place?
Well, it's really about choosing those artists that they already have a platform in the region, that they're not the kind of up-and-coming artists that we discover at emerging talent competition, although a couple of them have come through that route and have, you know, have played on the main stage at the After Race concerts because of that. But it's really about supporting those that already have a following, but as I say, just haven't had those live opportunities, you know, in the last couple of years, and making sure that they're so talented, you know, that there's such a fantastic, outstanding talent within the region. It's really making sure that is showcased.
Well, COVID hasn't gone away, so the challenges haven't completely gone. What have they meant for you when it comes to putting on this event?
Well, I think it hasn't been possible until now because of COVID. You know, obviously it's lived entirely in the digital space, you know, on each of our partners' platforms and on our own, for that exact reason. You know, everything has really been virtual or been very reduced capacity. And this is one of the first that's really a free event for the public to all come down and enjoy without all those protocols, all those safety protocols in place. And it's something that we've really been at the forefront of ensuring within the region. Obviously, the events have come back slowly and there is this cautious return, but we're very excited that we are finally getting to this place of live events and spectators and, you know, the fans being able to enjoy that live experience again.
When we're talking about artists, what kind of artists are we talking? Give us a bit of a flavour of what we can expect.
Well, it's a very diverse mix. You know, all very talented, but very diverse. So we have Freak, who I'm sure you're all very aware of. He has a huge following in the region. He's a rapper. He's based in Abu Dhabi. He is actually one of those who came through the Emerging Talent Competition, and he actually was on the main stage for Future and Gucci Mane in 2019. We have Mo Flow, who again, you know, he's Dubai based, a hip hop artist, huge. He's played at Soul DXB. They'll both be playing on the main stage this Friday. We have Molham, who is a real up and coming A-pop artist and is really on a mission to bring that Arabic pop to the world.
When you look at this wheel, Helen, as someone in the business, what entertainment possibilities do you see?
Huge possibilities. I mean, obviously, we're very excited to be hosting the first Rest Sessions live event here for many reasons. I think, you know, as a venue, number one, it's a new regional landmark, right? It's really reflective of that UAE ambition and a real showcase for the world. But it's also a very flexible live entertainment venue. You know, there's lots of spaces that can be activated, and we really look to work with Ain Dubai, you know, to bring them the content that really helps to showcase the flexibility of the venue.
Could we see, for example, the cabin equivalent of Tiny Desk concerts? How creative could you get?
The world is our oyster. I think we're actually going to be having a performance within the cabin. It'd be a private performance, but something that we can obviously then use on our platform. So, you know, we will have that content and really, you know, as a showcase for what's possible in the future within this space.
Thank you very much for joining us on the show this morning, and indeed in our cabin, our own Tiny Desk concert here. Helen Mellon-Mitchell, Vice President of Marketing Communications from Flash Entertainment. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to dubaieye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.